Hello. Thank you for downloading this sermon by Pastor Casey Halenchek. Casey is a missionary pastor with Village Missions. Currently, Casey and his wife Hope and their six children serve the Bangor Community Church and the surrounding area of Bangor, California. Village Missions exist to glorify Jesus Christ by developing spiritually vital community churches in rural North America. We now invite you to open your Bibles and journey with us.
Hey guys, Pastor Casey here. This is the second of 3 weeks that I'm going to be out of the pulpit. We were blessed this past week to have my head elder, Dave Deli, give the sermon that you will hear today. It is based off Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 10. So why don't you go ahead and open up your Bibles, God bless, and enjoy.
Spirit, teach us and guide us in all wisdom and all understanding. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Statements this morning that I hear people say quite often. Here's the first one. I'll be honest with you. Let me be honest with you. Why would someone say that? All this time I was under the impression that they were being honest with me. All along. And growing up, you know, I was taught to learn the importance of honesty. Honesty, when I worked for this egg farm picking up eggs, if you broke one, you had to mark on a list that you broke it. And above that list, what did it say? Honesty is the best policy. And what we knew is if we put a mark there, that took some of our pay away. So if you had any kind of conscience at all, you had to put your mark up there. But I broke eggs, I put my mark up there, but I never got docked for my wages. But the important thing was, he was teaching me honesty. Here's another one. To tell you the truth. I would think, why weren't you telling me the truth all along? What were you telling me before? Another one. If the truth be known, what happened to the truth? Where did it go? And here's another one. I'm not lying. That suggests that you may be lying to me now, or at least that you have the propensity to do so. You may be trying to convince me that you are not lying, which suggests that you could be lying. And here's one that I think people take out of context because you do find it in God's Word. The truth shall make you free. This statement is found in Scripture, but it is often misquoted in John 8:32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. This is not talking about just telling the truth, which that's what people do. They use it for that. But just telling the truth. This is referring to Jesus, the gospel message. Jesus says in John 14:6, what does he say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus is the truth, and he sets you free from the bondage of sin. That's what it's talking about when it says, the truth shall set you free. Now, just telling the truth, in a sense, it does set you free from guilt and shame. And later, to be found in a lie, if you tell the truth, it sets you free. So, in that sense, it does set you free. However, where it says it in Scripture, it is Jesus is the way and the truth. And he's the one that sets you free from the bondage of sin and the grip of it on your life. John 8:31-32, Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus sets you free from your sin. Let that sink in. Jesus is truth. There's not a lie there. There's not even a propensity of lie. Jesus is truth. That's the way it is in heaven. Everything is true. We don't know that down here on earth. And Jesus is the one who sets us free so that we can know the truth. What is our true condition outside of Christ? I'm in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 10. That's where I got the 10. And it says there, and you has he quickened who were what? Dead in trespasses and sin. He was writing to the believers in Ephesus, and they were formerly dead in their trespasses and sin. Paul reminds them of their former condition. Before you can understand the term being quickened, we must first understand that we are dead and separated from God. Without Christ, we are dead, just like a rock, no life. Go ask a rock for something. What kind of response are you going to get? Okay. What if you go to the graveyard and you talk to the people there, will you get an answer? Hope not. The fact is, dead things cannot respond to anything, to any stimulation. Without life, there is no response. Taken from the book that we were given at Christmas time, how many have that book, From Death to Life? Have you read it? Read it. I'm passing out more of those. And we bought more. So if you find someone, if you read it and you want somebody, give it to them. Pass it on. It's so important to understand what they have in there. The author, Alan Nelson, IV, he writes, go ask the rock what he wants for supper. Go preach a sermon at the graveyard and you'll get the same results. The Spirit of God must move upon the sinner to bring about life. Yes. Ask Lazarus what his favorite color was while he was in the grave. What would you have gotten an answer of? Purple? Before Jesus told him to come forth, he was dead. Just like a rock, dead. Absolutely nothing there. And the people, what did the scripture say about? They answered, Lord, he what?
Stinks.
He stinks, so he was not only dead, he was rotten. And God brought him back to life. Without Jesus, we are walking with the world and the devil, which means we are dead in our trespasses and sin. Ephesians 2:1-3, and you has he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. We are desperately lost and dying, separated from God. But God, in his rich mercy, provides us a way. He provides for us. Ephesians 2, 4 through 5. But God, who is what? Rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, which means to be made alive, together with Christ. By grace you are saved. By God's grace alone. The pastor has mentioned this many sermons. Grace alone. Faith alone. Christ alone. There's only one way to go from death to life. Only one way. So even while we were dead in sins, God brought us to life together with Christ by grace. His grace, you are saved. Nelson says in his book, Death to Life, because of the nature of sin and the reality of our sinful state, God must move first. And when the Holy Spirit moves in this way, the sinner is made alive. The Holy Spirit brings you under conviction. The Holy Spirit is what comes into you and starts talking to you and urging you to come to God. No other way. You can't just do it on your own. There's no way to get there except through the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God calls you. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. God's got His Word out there so that you can read it, so that the Spirit of God can move in your heart and in your life, so that the Spirit of God can bring you from death to life. That's why it's so important, and why we keep stressing, you've got to be in the Word of God. You've got to be reading it. Not only reading it, you've got to study it. That's the power of God. That Bible is alive. It's God-breathed, it says in the Scripture. It's alive. And it's alive and it's vital for you. And if you're going to find any life at all, it's going to be in Jesus, His Son. Jesus, God's Son, who is God. And the Spirit of God is going to pull you and draw you until you can't go any farther, and you have to go to your knees and cry out to God. As a believer, Paul says, you are quickened, made alive by the power of God only. The object of Apostle Paul is to show the great power of God, which he demonstrates towards us and towards the people, and to show us that this was put forth in connection with the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and his exaltation to the right hand of God in heaven. Jesus has the power over sin and death. Ephesians 1, 17 through 19. We didn't read that this morning. But the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. He wants you to know Him. The eyes of your understanding now being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope and the calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards those who believe according to the working of his mighty power. It's right there in God's word. He's telling us. Understand it and get your minds enlightened. Get yourself in alignment with what God wants for you. This is only possible by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the power of his resurrection. Our sins were placed upon Christ on the cross. He died in our place. He has the power over resurrection. We're going to, in the next few weeks, we're going to be celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we are going to know and understand and experience the power of God and the power of Jesus over death. And that's the kind of power that we want in our lives. That's the kind of power that we need, because otherwise we're dead. Jesus speaking to Martha, Jesus said unto her, I am the way, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. The Spirit of God calls us to believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. When we respond to this call, we receive God's grace by faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, not by anything else. It is nothing that we do that saves us, but it is all about what God does. Remember, we're dead and we're powerless to do anything on our own. Salvation is not what you do, but it is God's Spirit that changes the heart and creates a new life within you. The Spirit of God calls you forth from the dead, giving you new life. We must repent of our sins, which means to turn away, completely walking away from the sins and the things that grip us and the things that we want to do in the flesh, walking away and turning away from that and turning to God. And accepting the grace of God into your life. Accepting God into your life. Placing our faith in Jesus Christ and Him only for forgiveness. Yeah. Then and only then can you be made alive. And can now walk in newness of life. Without repentance, there is no salvation.
That's right.
If you continue in sin, there's no salvation. Without repentance, there is no salvation. You cannot just be sorry for the sins and expect God to just save you. I was sorry a lot when I got in trouble with my parents. But guess what? I still got a spanking. I think I told you this before. My grandmother was watching us, and I got in trouble, and I said to my grandmother, I said, Grandma, are you going to sit me down for a five-hour lecture, or are you going to spank me? Grandma says, you're going to get both. Oh. The Spirit of God needs to clean up your life. The Spirit of God, you need to submit your life to Him and allow Him to clean things in there. Lord knows it's dirty. Lord knows it's filthy. Lord knows it needs cleaning. There's not a one of us here sitting today in this building that does not have things in their lives that the Spirit of God is cleaning and cleansing and working and developing in us. Maybe you don't know Christ and He's calling you. You've got to open your heart and your mind to Him, and you've got to open your life, and you've got to be willing to repent of your sin and to walk into His arms. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Ephesians 2:4 through 6. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Wow. How can such children of disobedience and children of wrath ever come before a holy God? We've talked about this in prayer meetings. God is so holy that if you got into His presence, you'd be gone that quick. Instant crispy critters. So how can we, as children of disobedience, who are guilty of God's wrath, come before a holy God without blame and be received as adopted sons and accepted by God. Can any of you explain holiness? And I don't think any one of us has really fully understood or experienced holiness, total holiness and purity. We think we know, but I can tell you we don't. God is the very essence of holiness and purity, and there's no comparison here on earth. Salvation, then, is by grace, through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. There we are, grace alone, faith alone. Salvation involves God's mercy and His great love. God's great love is the beginning point of salvation. From God's love, all else flows. God's rich mercy and grace stems from the fact that God has a great love for us. What's John 3:16 say? For God so loved the world, what did He do? He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. This love is not because of who we are, but who God is. Not because of who we are, but who God is. God did not love us because we're lovable, but because God, by His nature, is loving. We love Him because He first loved us, 1 John 4:19. As John wrote in an effort to inspire his brothers to love one another, he says God is love. Listen how many times he talks about the love of God. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. He that knows that loves not God, for God is he that loves not God, knows not God. For God is love. In this was manifest the love of God towards us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love. And not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. 9 times. You think love is important? Do you think God's love is important? You better believe it. If it wasn't for God's love, none of us would be here today. We'd be saved or anything. We would be lost, totally lost. So salvation involves the rich mercy of God. So now we have mercy alone. God's mercy alone. Defining mercy. The Greek word eleos is defined as compassion. Mercy then is compassion that one has for those in trouble. God's great love makes Him rich in mercy and compassion. His great love for sinners enables God to be filled with compassion towards us. That's where the love comes from, and that's what He's loving. The riches of God's mercy seeks to reach out to all who will believe. 1 Timothy 2, 3-4, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. In 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Unfortunately, not all receive God's great mercy. That's the sad thing. Well, we don't know who is or who isn't going to accept Him. So we act as if anyone and everyone will. Salvation involves being made alive together with Christ, as I said. Here is where grace enters in. As I have previously said, for when we were dead, God makes us alive. He calls us by His Spirit. While we are still dead in trespasses and sin, God has, by His power, made us alive together with Christ. It just boggles my mind when I consider what God has done for me and what He's done for you. Salvation by grace through faith. It involves being raised up together with Christ. Christ was raised up from the dead and set up at the right hand of God in the heavenlies. We too, all those who believe in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, who put their faith in God, who've been called by the Holy Spirit of God, will be raised in heavenly places. We are currently in that position. This speaks of our present condition in the spiritual realm, in heavenly places. Because of our union with Christ, we enjoy an exalted position with Him. This union with Christ serves as a basis for our wonderful spiritual blessings that come to us even now today. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians 1:13. But our present condition and the blessings it entails are only the beginning. There's more in the ages to come. God's word says that mind hath not seen or ear heard what's in store for those who love Him. These exceeding riches in grace, and God's grace and kindness, are coming from God and by God's grace alone. And they are by Christ alone. Salvation involves faith, not meritorious works. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Salvation is first and foremost by the grace of God. Up to this point, Paul has said nothing about man's part in the process of salvation. It is by God's rich mercy, love, and grace makes salvation possible. It is the power of God's Spirit working in us and makes us alive, raises us up, and makes us sit together with Christ. True salvation is not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone boast. We are not saved by works or merit, whereby we earn salvation. You can't earn it. You can't pay for it. You can't do any of those things. It's a free gift of God. But it's according to God's mercy. In Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us, by the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Salvation is by God's grace through faith. Faith together with the working of God's Spirit is how we are raised with Christ. It is an obedient faith that receives the salvation in Christ. Salvation is by grace through faith. When we become born again, we are new creation, created for good works. That means we do good works because we are created to do them, not so that we gain favor with God or with man. So when we do things, we do it because God has created us to do that. When you realize that you're doing it for God and because of God, then you joyfully do it. You don't do it because you think you're going to get something for doing it. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. In Christ we are His workmanship. Through God's working, He has made us alive. He's raised us up. He's made us sit together in heavenly places. and we have truly become a new creation. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. We are new creatures created for good works. We're not saved by good works. God prepared it beforehand. In Titus 2:11-14, for the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous for good works or of good works. Therefore, the people of God should be ready to do every good work. Titus 3:1. Be careful to maintain your good works. Not so other people can see it, but because you were created to do that, and because God has ordained it. And learn to maintain those good works. So you don't just say, okay, well, salvation is not by works. Works are involved, but works are involved after you become saved because God created you to do them. In conclusion, so it is by grace through faith that the children of wrath can become children of God. You can come from being a dead rock to a live, lively stone. You can become dead and alive. Brought back to life, just like Lazarus. When I had my surgery, my second surgery, they had me clinically dead for 45 minutes. And then they brought me back to life. And I tell everybody, I guess I'm related to Lazarus. But we, all those who are here that have given their heart and their life to God, and the power of the Holy Spirit has changed you, and you've repented from your sins, and you rely on him for eternal life, you are also, just like Lazarus, raised from the dead. You were bought with a price, the blood of Jesus Christ. 1 John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the power or the right to become the sons of God, even to them who believe on his name. Psalms 34:18, the Lord is nigh unto them that are broken heart and have saved such as be of a contrite heart. For your heart to be broken and for repentance to come forth, you have to have a contrite heart, a broken spirit heart. Romans 10:10, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made of salvation. Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your powerful work of the Spirit of God. Thank you for calling us. Thank you for your Spirit urging us to come from being dead people to bringing us to life. You brought us to life for a purpose, so that we can share this with others, so that others will know how to become alive. All those who are dead out there in their trespasses and sin, we can show them the way. We can help them understand. We can tell them about Jesus and the power of his resurrection. Help us, Lord, to be doing the good works that you've called us to do. Continue to urge us to do the right thing. And when we do sin, Lord, help us to bring it before you and to turn away from it. Help us to be repentant people. Help us to be people who are always calling you. Help us to be people who are in your word, doing your will, For Lord, the days are evil and the time is short, and we have so little time in which to reach people with the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Urge us to do what we need to do. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this sermon from Bangor Community Church. You can find us at facebook.com/BANGOR Community Church CA, all one word. If you would like to connect with Pastor Casey, please hop on over to CaseyHolenchek.com. That's CaseyHolenchek.com. Thank you and God bless.
Thank you again for listening and joining us on our journey through God's Word. If you've listened this far and believe in our ministry or us as a family, please consider partnering with us. We would be honored to know that you are praying with and for us. If you feel compelled to give through financial support, information on how and where to give can be found at CaseyHolenchek.com/giving. Thank you and God bless.